Last time on Wanderlust.
So you look at your food rations, you know, you look at the trip ahead of you, and you start heading off. And way off to your east, you see another fire light. Hi, I come in peace. It feels, I am sure wandering up to your campsite is dangerous. Please don't shoot me right away. Estelle, you have like a sense for when something's about to jump you, right? And you get that like split second, I'm about to be jumped, and you turn around and see Maul popping out of a bush, throwing a knife. Do you guys know who she is? She killed people, she's gonna kill me, and you're just gonna stand there for what?
Are you talking about Maul? She's kind of with us.
Maul, is there a reason we're killing him?
He cut my arm off, he needs to die.
What? You have two arms!
One of them's not original. He cut my arm off. He needs to die.
Estelle, like, looks back at the rest of them. Look, unless he actively tries to kill us...
He's going to.
He deserves a chance like the rest of us do to try to fix what happened.
You know what's gonna happen, Estelle. He's gonna come back and he's gonna try to kill Maul. Because you know what the quest is. You become predator or you become prey. And if we let him walk off with his weapons, he's going to come back and he's going to kill us.
How do we even know we're at the part of the trial yet?
Here's a knife. You better get running because I don't know how long we can hold Maul back.
And you can just see this person sort of walking as, like, all the way at the edge of your eyesight towards you, slowly getting closer and closer and closer.
Hello out there! It is good to see all of you friends! I feel that we're on the same quest, off to kill wolves!
We are!
Well, you don't look like wolves to me, may we walk for a spell!
So as you approach that pile of rocks and it grows into more detail, it is mostly just these big stones leading out, like, right on the edge of this frozen lake. And there's a massive skull on the top, like a wolf's head, with massive antlers coming out of it. There's a pool of blood overflowing down the rock and staining the snow around this lake blood red. And all around you, you can feel snarling wolves and howling. All of you are standing around a pile of stones by a frozen lake. The top of this pile of ice and snow-covered stones, there is a skull of a wolf with a huge rack of antlers on it. There's a pool of... it's blood. Blood bubbling out of the top of the rocks, pouring through the teeth and the eyes and the nose of the skull, running down the rocks, staining the lake red. The smell here is different than what you've typically associated with when the wilds reach out to you in like a more than natural way, let's say. You can smell that metallic blood scent. You can smell death and fear almost. It's a almost ingrained anxiety that comes from smelling what you would smell as you are getting eaten by a predator. That's what is prevailing right now. What do you all do?
I turn off Audacity and go to bed.
I think Juliet's gonna get out her rope and her knife just to be prepared, you know?
You mentioned last time that there's like howling too, right? Like we're hearing
wolves.
Can we do like a notice check to see if there's anything else, like the provenance of this pool of blood?
You definitely can. Yeah,
I think Estelle's probably looking around to see if we can find the wolf who like who talked to us.
Mm-hmm.
3 plus 3.
Wow, so samesies for both of you. You do not notice the wolf, and the howling seems like it's almost coming from the rocks. It doesn't seem to have a fixed location.
Okay.
Can I try to see how Hector's feeling?
Do you just want to ask Hector how he's feeling, or do you want to, like, try to intuit?
Insight check.
Oh, yes.
1. My thought is she's looking to see if he's, like, tensing up or grabbing his weapons or...
So, Hector seems at ease, if a little confused.
So, where are the wolves we're supposed to fight?
Who are you asking that to? Sorry.
Anyone who wants to respond.
Hector, have you run across a marker like this in your travels?
I never have, but that does not mean that it is not something worth challenging myself to.
And he just starts trying to climb up the side of the rock.
Like the slippery blood-slicked rocks?
Yeah. Yeah, he does not seem to mind the blood.
So we're on this, we're like by the rocks. It's not, I thought it was like across the lake.
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay, from, I know I got a 3 for looking for the wolf. I don't know if you want me to roll again. I'm kind of wondering if this is the same as like the area where Autumn, like where what Autumn found in the crevice before we got into this more wintry area. So are there like bones or trinkets around here?
Nope, just the skull.
Okay.
And the pool at the top of the rocks.
I guess we climb up?
Is it like I'm having a real hard time picturing this. It's like, where's the lake? Is there a lake?
Okay, so there is a frozen lake.
Okay.
On the bank of the frozen lake, right where you're standing, is a pile of rocks, like a pile of boulders. And then pouring down as if from a spring is blood pouring through a skull that's sitting at the top.
So Hector's climbing up like a small hill of rocks.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, maybe we'll get lucky and it's just that we have to get to the top of the rocks. And that finishes the trial.
Yeah, I'm sure that really shows that we're predators or prey.
That was a joke, Autumn. This is kind of a gross, serious moment, so I don't think that's actually what's going to happen.
All right, so do you guys climb up?
Yup.
Guess so.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll say, like, I have to ask this and not be coy about it. Do you bring Guffy with you?
No.
Okay. You all clamber your way to the top of these rocks. The area at the very top, like I said, it's like a stack of boulders, you know? And the area around the top of this is not like some smooth, even bowl. And you can just see from the center this bubbling red liquid that's pouring out. And there's that intense smell of blood. When you get to the top, it's rounded over boulders and it's uneven and difficult to find your footing. But the 7 of you, I want to say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's Hector, Mitchell, Maul, the 4 of you. Reach the top and look down into this pool, right? So it'd be by your feet, bubbling up through a skull that was overlooking this vast tundra of that wolf with the antlers. As you look down, you feel yourself drawn, like you're being pulled into this place, right? Like you're being forced down towards this pool. It becomes all that you can see is this bubbling red liquid, like you're staring down to some kind of vortex, right? It's mesmerizing and appealing. It draws you ever closer and closer. Specifically for Fred and Estelle, that draw becomes inevitable. You feel your limbs growing heavy as you fall to your knees and move ever closer to this basin. Similarly, you look over and you can see Hector on all fours crawling towards it, his hand reaching for this pool of blood. His clothes have been stained as he climbed up, not caring that he was, you know, having blood dumped over him. He sticks his hand in the pool and slides smoothly in, disappearing. Autumn And Juliet, make some kind of like mental fortitude check.
I got nothing for that. Unless you give me persistent.
Nope, that does not work.
Didn't think it would, but I got a 2.
Notice, investigate, research, reasonable.
Reasonable actually works.
Okay, that's a +1.
Dadgum. As you all stand up here, you see Hector first reach his hand in. Estelle and Fred, you feel an surging bite of adrenaline and rage as you lunge forward for this puddle, sticking your hands in. Juliet, you notice Maul basically do the same thing, and there's like a brief moment where you realize that your friends are disappearing into a spring of blood, and you're like, this is crazy, and then you're overtaken, like I said, with that feeling of rage and adrenaline. You've been startled, and your instinct is to lurch forward in an attack. You shove your hand in and vanish. All of you, your vision goes red.
Does Autumn go in?
Yes, sorry, all of you.
Okay.
Kind of the same way. Your vision goes red. You feel, like I said, that surge of adrenaline, of rage, and of like a need to defend yourself, to fight, to survive. And you all hit the ground on a forest that is totally unfamiliar to you. Similar to the trees that you saw coming this way, you're in a pine forest. It's all this dark, rich green. The scent of pine sap is in the air. It's not cold anymore. It's now probably like 60 degrees. There's thick fog all around you and moss on the ground. You can hear rivers burbling around next to you, and far off in the distance, the howling of wolves. And all of you are alone.
Do we have our stuff?
You have your stuff. I'm not doing that this time. You're not naked.
I was going to say, in a shocking move from Cody Johnson.
To be fair, all of our stuff does nothing except help with shift, which I'm fully unclear on what that actually does. Where it's like, you succeed by more if you succeed.
Well, it's like, if you're trying to like fight something, it won't help you hit the monster, but it will help you do more damage.
Okay.
It's that type of deal.
When you say that we're alone, do you mean that, like, each of us individually are separate from each other?
You are not with the party. You are alone. You hear howling in the forest.
Okay.
Fred, as the random number generator goes for how I'm deciding who goes first now, you're alone in a forest. What do you do?
I think you'd first, like, kind of take stock of where he is, like what's around, anything notable in the area.
Cool. So I understand this is sort of an abstract question. So let me clarify what I'm looking for here. You're going to make a roll to kind of determine how you get your bearing and start trying to make your way through this dangerous world. And, you know, if it's like trying to get my bearings, figure out where I am, find landmarks, we'll do a roll to determine that. And there's going to be an event as a result. So that's sort of going to be the flow of it. So is that kind of what you do? You just were trying to like figure out some landmarks, get my bearings, stuff like that?
Yeah, I think it would be a combination of that, like kind of trying to take stock of where he is, see if he recognizes anything, and then also like calling out to the others to see if they're nearby.
Gotcha. Make me whatever role you think would be appropriate for, you know, like getting your bearings, calling out, searching, that kind of thing.
I guess notice.
Notice works.
That was bad. -1.
Okay. You start trying to, like, get your bearings in this forest. It's very alien to you. You know, it could be things as simple as streams flow in a different direction than is typical. The plant life, none of it is familiar to you. It all looks sort of similar to things that you've seen before, but not quite. That ever-present howling is not making you feel any better. As you start walking your way through this forest, just feeling your anxiety build and build and build as you call out for your friends, that anxiety, that like gripping in your chest increases until you like slip, fall down a small hill, and you kind of like land, realizing like, I have no idea where I am. I have no idea how I got here. I just fell into a blood well, and now I'm in a weird forest. And as you hit the ground and look up, go with me here on this looks impossible. So understand that this is an impossible looking thing that you're seeing. Far up in the sky, you see a wolf sitting on a rock. Looks like a normal wolf, but massive, with a huge rack of antlers. It's staring down at you as if that rock moves with you and it is always watching you. Does that kind of make sense? This is like superimposed into your reality that there is a wolf in the sky. You know what I mean? Imagine it's on your HUD. That's a good way to think about it. It's following you.
Okay.
The wolf looks down and goes,
I see you have found my test. Take a life and you may leave, or be the life that is taken.
That wolf howls, and then you look across the forest, right? Realizing what has just happened, and you see Hector come tumbling out of, like, down a hill as well. He has an axe in his hand and a sword in the other. And he looks at you, his eyes full of a joyous fury as he starts stalking closer to you, one step at a time. And that stalking turns into a run. What do you do?
Hector, snap out of it. It's me. Anything?
Hector smiles as he's still just kind of like jogging towards you, and he goes, I know, and you will be my first prey, as he's still jogging towards you. All right, back on you.
Yeah, Fred would get out his axe and prepare to defend himself.
All right, make me roll.
Gosh, not rolling super great. It's a plus two.
Oh, okay. So not the worst, not the best.
Not the worst, but I'm still rolling negative. And I want to be clear, I'm specifically trying to not kill him.
Okay.
I want to, like, disarm him, incapacitate him. That's what Fred's aiming to do.
Yeah, so you get out, because you've made some weapons, right?
Yeah, I mean, the axe that I'm wielding is one that I made.
Okay, so you get out this axe that you've made, and it's an horribly awkward moment. Again, when you realize, like, drawing a weapon is not, like, a smooth, easy thing to do. Like, I don't imagine that you have your axe on, like, a quick draw sheath, you know? So it's like, I can put down the backpack, dig around, get out my axe, as this massive man is lumbering towards you who seems...
Well, no, it's, I imagine Fred has, like, a tool belt with a lot of his blacksmith tools.
Okay. Okay, cool. So you pull it off your belt, you know, and this giant man is lumbering towards you, and it's like... Again, it's this weird slow motion thing of realizing this is inevitable as he swings both of his weapons at you and you manage to like turn the axe blow as he just comes in with his sword hand and punches you in the face, driving you to the ground. I'll keep track of your physical strain, by the way, as I go here. I'm assuming you're going to want to take the physical stress as possible, yeah? Before you take...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how much am I taking?
So you're taking 2 from that punch to the face.
Okay.
As you kind of, like, reel backwards, he stands over you and goes, Defend yourself! You realize what the challenge is! It's time to kill or be killed! Surely you knew this as we traveled together! As his, like, rain of blows is just continuing to slam down on your axe.
So he's, like, standing over top of me then.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fred is gonna try to hit him in the knee.
Okay.
That is much better. That is a 5.
Dead gum. So, are you still trying to be, like, fairly non-lethal with this?
Yes.
Okay. So, he's slamming attack after attack after attack on you, and you're, like, basically just using your axe to try to just keep him from hitting you. This isn't particularly difficult, as he doesn't seem concerned with, like, changing up his blows to try to... hit you differently or get around your defenses. He's just basically going to hit you until you get tired. And you realize, yeah, I mean, he's stabbing me, but I can always just kick him straight in the kneecap. You know, so you deliver a pretty firm kick to his knee and it like flops him to the ground as he rolls over and looks up at you and just goes,
Coward. Kill me if you're going to kill me.
But I don't want to kill you.
Then you wish to die here.
I don't see why both of us... I don't see why we had to kill each other.
Did you hear the wolf? Kill or be killed?
I did hear it, and I don't believe it. I don't think that that's the only way out of here.
He looks at you and goes, what could you possibly mean?
Now the question is, what does Fred possibly mean?
I will say, you can lie to him.
I'm thinking maybe we could, instead of fighting each other, we could team up together and then fight whatever thing is trying to pit us together, or pit us against each other.
Make me a roll.
Well, I was going to ask whether you think this is more of a deceit or a rapport, but they're the same number, so it doesn't really matter.
I would say it's kind of both.
So I get a plus six then.
Yeah, sure. That's how that works.
Really? That's not how that works at all, is it?
No! No!
I was going to say, I was like, I'll take it if you're actually giving it to me, but I didn't think that's how it worked. Dang. Okay. Well, that's a seven. I rolled plus four on my dice.
Wow.
You see him look at you and kind of size you up and go, that is a rather nice axe. And he looks at you again and goes, creatures do hunt in packs, and nothing was specifically stated that does not allow us to kill together.
Fine. For the time being, I will allow this idea. But I will say the first kill must go to me.
And he reaches down, picks you up, and sets you on your feet and goes, come along, friend, we will find much to be killed. And goes, like, tearing off through the forest.
All right, I follow him, I guess.
All right. Boom, another random number. Autumn, you're in a forest alone. Described much the same as I described it to Fred.
So we're in the same forest then. Clues. Can I scale a tree?
Yes, you can. Make me a scale a tree and look around roll.
Plus three.
Oh, nice. You find a very, long tree that has easy to grab branches. You scurry up and look up at a sky that is at once starry, but also not poorly lit. Like, it's just this prevailing gloom over a dim forest. And high up in the sky, you see a wolf sitting on a rock. It's massive, with antlers. And it looks at you and goes,
I see you have found my test. Kill or be killed, predator or prey. Which are you, Autumn? I see that you are strong, but are you lethal?
How high is high in the sky?
I'm going to try to think about the right... I think you need to embrace a degree of weirdness here. It's above you in the sky.
No, that's fine. Like, there's a reason I'm asking. I'm not trying to be like...
Why are you asking? Yeah.
Is it jumpable range? That Autumn could jump from a tree and try to grab onto the rock?
No, it's just like a vision.
No, I do not hate this question at all. Let me maybe put it to you this way. We're in a weird place, and you have to kind of go for what you're going to go for and deal with the consequences of it. I will say, if you were about to absolutely commit suicide by jumping out of a tree and falling 50 feet to a forest floor, I would tell you that's what you're doing. That's not what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm going to try to jump up and kill that wolf.
Okay.
Like, that seems like the logical explanation. Or not explanation, or course of action.
Yep, make me a roll.
I don't like this. Come on. Come on. I'm going to use a reroll. Because fate points are meant to be spent, right? That's worse.
Oh, no.
Plus three.
Okay. You leap up in the air towards this rock in the sky, and you have that moment of doubt. Like, am I jumping straight up in the air into the sky at a magic wolf? Yeah, you know what? Whatever. This is all weird. I'm going for it. And as you think to yourself, definitely this is nothing, your hand hits rock.
Oh, gosh.
And you pull yourself up on to this rock in the sky, and you look up a very short, smoothed path up this rock to a wolf laying very comfortably on the stone. You can see bones of dead animals around it. Its eyes are a fiery red that shimmer in the night and reflect light back at you. Its tail flicks lazily. Its mouth hangs open, a tongue lolling to the side as it pants gently.
It has been many years since someone would dare to do this. I must admit, though not one of the ones chosen for a pilgrimage, I am enticed.
The wolf stands slowly to its feet. At this point now, like, it's the wolf's chest would be above your head, right? This thing is big. Easily a 500-pound wolf. It crouches, snarls, and then with total silence leaps at you. And we're going to cut over to Estelle. Estelle, you wake up in the forest alone. It is, as I've described to everyone else, what do you do?
I think the first thing that she would do is stand up and start doing that, like, spinning in a circle, calling for everyone.
So, no response. What do you do after that?
She's going to get a better bearing of her surroundings, which I assume means she looks up at some point and sees something up there.
Okay. Make me a roll, like a notice roll.
Danger sense or inquisitive?
Let's go with inquisitive in this case.
The real danger are the friends we met along the way.
Minus one.
Cool. You start walking through the forest. You feel that pressing loneliness, and you're reminded of how efficient you have become being by yourself. There's a comfort in not having to worry about someone else getting hurt or someone else being in danger or having to save someone else. In this case, you realize it's probably a good thing you didn't bring Guffy with you. It's probably a good thing, as far as you know, you don't know anyone who's here. Maybe this is a trial better faced by yourself. And you realize how easily you could slip back in to being alone as you walk comfortably in a forest by yourself. You come into a clearing. The fog is a little bit thinner here. There's a small pool of water. You come over a hill, look down onto this beautiful little vista, and the only thing marring it is a giant wolf with antlers and fiery reflective eyes staring up at you from this pool. In the wolf's mouth, you see, let's go with a small wounded deer. Obviously, wolves can't talk. It just stares at you. And in your head, you hear that same voice.
Estelle, I must admit, this is disappointing for me. I have no confusion in my mind about what you are. You save life. You protect life. That seems to me to be weak. I don't believe you have what it takes to beat my test. I don't believe you ever will, and I don't believe you can. I think you're doomed to wander these woods forever, prey.
And the wolf drops the wounded deer by the pool of water.
Kill this deer and you can leave.
And the wolf backs away slowly. And as it does, it says,
but think, you have a dog alone in the woods, a son left alone in a town, a lover lost, and all you have to do is kill something that doesn't deserve to die.
As the wolf backs away into the gloom, and you're left alone with, like, a whining deer. You can tell it's like favoring a leg, and in your head immediately, you know all the things you could do to help it.
Cody sipping coffee after all of that just is the, like, cherry on top for people who can't see.
I think, so Estelle, like, slowly approaches the deer, and knowing what we're going into, she's also had her, she does have a knife, and she has had that out, if anything, for protection. And I think when she gets close to it, I assume it isn't running away.
No.
Okay. She, like, helps it to the ground, and with her knife, she, I'm going to say, based on her knowledge, she knows what the swiftest, most painless version of giving it almost like a mercy killing that she is able to do without all of her medical equipment. So she does that. And as she does that, she, like, places her hand over its lungs to feel it breathe its last and says, I'm really sorry that you had to be a part of this, but I know Kataris will take care of you.
As you do that, and you feel its heart stop beating, and you're left there with blood on your hands, you hear a wolf pad back up to you, fiery eyes staring at you, and antlers. It looks down at the dead prey on the ground, and looks back up at you, and you hear in your mind's eye again,
well, Estelle, you are free to go.
And you have this uncomfortable moment of realizing a few things. It doesn't seem mad or disappointed, and you feel yourself being wrenched away from this place, your vision fading. You can feel the cold pressing in on you again as you realize you don't really know who all is still there and who all you left. And as you feel yourself pulling away, you can almost see like a shadow of Autumn alone on a rock fighting a wolf as you wake up in a snowy tundra, staring up at the sky, Guffy licking at your face, totally alone. We kick over finally to Juliet, who is alone in a forest.
So I think after coming through the blood well, feeling all of that adrenaline, like, takes her back to when she killed the wolf prior. And so she's, like, still, like, in that mode of, like, oh, it's happening again. Like, I need to, like, I'm going to need to do this again. So I think she, like, roots around for a stick and, like, sharpens a stick with her knife and is then just like, okay, well, now I have a sharpened stick and there's no wolf yet. I guess I'll start walking and trying to navigate, like, see if it looks like something familiar or if it's a different planet or what.
Sure. Make me a roll.
Of, like, navigating, notice.
Sure. Yeah, that works.
Wow. Okay. That's a zero.
Wow. You rolled a zero on your notice?
I did. Yeah.
Jeez.
All right. So you're walking through an unfamiliar forest. It's impossible to see very far. It feels like every tree looks just like the tree before it. You still are feeling like the remnants of that adrenaline pumping through you that was driving you forward. And you are trying to be aware, right? There's this desire to be like, you know, head on a swivel. Don't let the anxiety drive you to total distraction. Be focused. You were able to handle a wolf. And that's what's going through your mind when you look up into a tree and you see like an odd ripple. And then you see Lance where that was, holding one of those mini things that looked like guns at you. And you're like, oh, I need to die. And then you get like shot in the chest with something that knocks you to the ground and knocks the wind out of you.
Okay.
You're laying there barely able to move.
And
so I haven't seen the wolf yet, right? Like the wolf in the sky?
No.
Okay.
No. And Lance walks over top of you, and it's just like kind of that's all that's in your vision. And he looks down and goes, look, I think we all know that not all of us are getting out of here alive, and I have to get back. So I'm sorry about that, but you happen to be the blood toll that I walked into first. There's nothing personal about this. As he says this, he's like pulling a knife out, gives it a couple of sharpens, and you see him like about to stab you. What do you do?
Okay, I'm gonna try to get the knife out of his hand. Like, if I'm like falling on the ground and I still have my stick in my hand.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try to disarm him.
Okay. Make a roll for, you know,
athletics.
Sure.
Dexterous hands. Either is the same.
Yeah.
4.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. By the way, you took 2 strain, which takes your last strain. Oh, you said a 4?
Yeah.
So he's about to stab you, and you like wait until the last moment and then swing up and knock the blade out of his hand. And he kind of like shakes his hand and looks at you and goes, now look, you're making this harder than it needs to be. You've been shot full in the chest. You're not winning this one, all right? Just, we're both people of logic, I think. Why are you making this harder than it needs to be? And you see him like go for another something that looks blastery at his waist.
I'm gonna try to take that out too. That's a plus 2.
Cool. So you leap to your feet and try to go for his gun hand, and you manage to like push him back and kind of like hit him, but he doesn't drop the thing in his hand and fires it again, and you feel it like burning heat as it clips through your arm, like not fully hitting you.
That was a success?
No, that wasn't a success. That was a tie.
Oh, because we're doing a post. Okay, okay.
He's rolling against you, yeah.
Okay, okay.
And you feel like searing pain on your arm as you, like, in your head can start doing the math of how much damage this has done. And it's like a pretty gruesome wound that just got burnt and then, like, cauterized shut on your arm.
Okay. Lance, we don't have to do this.
Yeah, so as you're struggling with him, he's like, you don't have to do this. I do. Everyone I know will die if I don't. You get to not have to do this. Do you want to try to do a convince?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
Do you want me to roll first, I guess?
Yeah.
Genuine or reasonable?
I think reasonable works.
It doesn't really matter. It's a minus 1.
So, sorry. Okay, so go ahead. Yeah, say what you're going to say.
We don't have to do this. We can figure out a different way. We can put our heads together. You're a scientist, I assume, as well. We can figure out a different way to do this, to get out of this forest. And then killing each other. Why should we have to kill each other? We can use navigation. We can use cartography.
He shoves you back off of him. He like kicks you in the chest and pushes you back, freeing his hand from yours. He looks at you and goes, I have killed people that I like far more than I like you. This is not a choice for me, at least not a difficult one anymore. I'm glad it is for you. I think it's better to die like that than wait until you've become me. And he starts firing at you again as you like dodge to the side.
Okay.
Now we're back in combat. What do you do?
Okay. Is it kind of dark in here?
Sorta, yeah.
Okay. Juliet is going to take off running. With the intent of trying to lose line of sight with him, hide, and then ambush him.
Oh, okay. Make a roll. Yeah, for that.
Athletics, I guess.
Sure.
plus 2.
All right. You dodge off into the forest, and you can hear him shouting behind you, this is just delaying the inevitable, Juliet, as you hear, as you can hear and feel these, like, searing bolts of fire flying over your head, hitting trees next to you as you manage to, like, crouch your way into, like, a little rooty overhang of a tree and wait as you hear footsteps creeping past you, and you just see his legs like walking past this little rooty alcove that you found yourself in. One of us is dying. And I'm really not thinking it's gonna be me, Juliet. As far as I can tell, you have a pointed stick. I don't think that your world's quite as advanced as mine, and I was well equipped when I came out here.
So, once it gets to the point where he is like crossing over where she's at, she's gonna leap up with her pointed stick and try to follow it up with her knife. But she needs a range thing first.
Oh, so you're like throwing the stick at him and then going to try to stab him?
Not throwing it, more just like surprising him and sort of pinning him, but that she doesn't have an illusion about this being necessarily the thing that kills him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Okay. That's a plus one.
Oh, shoot. I have to roll.
No, you don't. You really don't. Do I get an advantage because I'm hidden, actually? I feel like succeeding on that previous thing should give me an aspect of hidden, which would give me surprise.
It does.
Of plus two?
That does. That would get. I will give you an aspect on that, which would give you a plus two.
Okay. So it'd be a plus three. I could play the game.
It's good that you did. So you leap up and you like thrust your stick at him and in like one motion swing your knife in, and you can feel exactly the right place that you hit between his ribs, stabbing him deep in vital organs. You can see the shock on his face as he definitely did not expect this to happen. And I don't know what Juliet would feel in a moment realizing that she has killed someone.
So I think like before that happens, she is like, we don't have to be wolves, Lance. This doesn't have to be how this ends.
Oh, are you trying to talk to him again?
Yeah.
Oh, before you stab him?
No, after.
Oh.
I think he's dead.
He doesn't die immediately.
Oh yeah, he definitely does.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't like kind of stab someone if you stab someone successfully.
But it's not like instantaneous. He has to bleed.
Oh, okay. So you're like talking to him as you're... Okay, so I'm sorry. What happens here is you stab him in the chest with a very big knife.
Yes.
He is dying actively.
Yes.
Oh, okay. And you're saying this to him, right?
Yeah.
As you say that to his face, as you can like see his eyes dimming and going out of focus, the last thing you see is Sheriff Mitchell coming over like the hill down towards both of you, a shocked look on his face, and the last thing you hear is his blaster going off in his hand, and then you feel that your own vision dimming as you feel the cold pressing in on you again and the forest leaving you as you awake on the top of the stone pile, you know, that you guys had all started on.
Okay.
You look down and see Estelle, and you're like, good. I made it back, so did Estelle. Then you feel your legs go out from under you as you topple off of this stone pile, and you look down and see, like, a horrible smoking wound in your chest where he had shot you at point-blank range.
Okay.
And we are gonna cut back to... Who do we have left? Good lord. Fred and Autumn.
So real quick, before we do that, There was a point, Cody, where I think you were describing what Juliet was doing, and you used the words, you're walking in the woods. And it was so hard for me to follow up with that with, there's no one around and your phone is dead. Out of the corner of your eye, you spot him.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
You know, I didn't say anything because I knew Cody wasn't going to give me a chance to like run up to Juliet, but I'm like...
I'm watching Mandy on camera trying to run to Juliet.
Fred, You're with Hector creeping through the woods. I will say you had that conversation briefly where the wolf spoke to you. You can see it high up in the sky on its rocks. And as you're walking, Hector is sort of just expounding on all of the things he is planning on killing. And then it's sort of odd to like look up into the sky at what you would assume is a vision. And you just see Autumn leap towards the rock, land on it, climb her way up, stare at a massive wolf in the sky, and then just start fighting a massive wolf in the sky. That's what Fred sees. What does Fred do?
To be honest, I'm not that surprised. That's totally in character for Autumn.
Hector looks at you and goes, "What you're telling me is your friend frequently leaps into the sky and fights gods?"
I mean, she usually just jumps to the most dangerous thing around and fights her way through it.
He looks at you and looks back up into the sky and goes, "Do not take this the wrong way. Your axe is very nice. I'm surprised I did not cleave it in two."
"Hey, I made this thing myself. That's why it didn't break when you hit it. It's good craftsmanship."
"You make axes?"
All kinds of other stuff. I'm a blacksmith."
You feel a massive hand hit you on the shoulder. "We are going to be friends forever. You will forge me many axes, but first, how do I become friends with your friend?"
"Well, at the moment, she's pretty upset about what's happening back in our town, so I think right now the best thing would be to help us get through this trial, not kill each other, and fix what's happening in our town."
He looks at you and goes, "I don't know what's happening in your town, and I won't kill you unless she tells me to, because whoever's willing to jump and fight a wolf god can be the leader of our hunting party." And then he just kind of looks up into the sky and goes, "Do we just jump, I guess?"
"I don't know if I can jump that high, but I mean, we can try. I don't know if the rules are the same here or what."
Let me put it this way. Fred, you can decide how you want to try to get up there, and it will matter, but the answer is not going to be no. Does that make sense?
Right. So I'm trying to picture this in my head. Is it just in the middle of the sky?
Yeah, wherever you look, it is. It's following you.
I mean, how high up do I imagine this is?
Again, Zach asked the same question. Nebulously above you. Zach was able to jump to it by trying to. This does not work in like real world logic anymore. There isn't like a
right
height difficulty. There's an effort threshold. Does that make sense? I need that on a t-shirt. There isn't a specific height. There's an effort threshold. That sums up every way that I measure distance. How far away is it? Pretty hard. I don't know if pretty hard is it. Like, how big is that wolf? Dangerous. That's how big it is.
Quality over quantity.
Okay, here's a thought. In this foresty area that we're in, do I see any like hills around, like any higher up places, or maybe like a cliff face, anything like that?
Sure.
Okay. So I got an idea. We could cut down a few of these trees to make ourselves like kind of like a ladder to see if we can climb up to it. Because I don't think I can jump that high.
I like it. Make me a ladder check. And while you're rolling that, we're going to cut back over to Autumn. Autumn, high up in the sky, you're fighting a monstrously huge wolf on a rock. Make me a roll for that.
6.
Dad gum. It's a good thing you're good at this kind of stuff.
I know, right? I'm only fighting a wolf god. I hope I can at least body it a little bit.
Your physical stress is stupid, by the way. I want you to know your physical stress, it's stupid.
Are you talking about how much capacity for stress Autumn has?
Yeah. So this initial part of the fight is at first sort of exhilarating as you realize you're able to kind of go toe-to-toe with this thing for a while. You are able to predict its leaps. You kind of know, you've seen predators fight in the wild before. You've been in your fair share of scraps with creatures at this point as you dodge and roll. And are you armed at this point?
Yeah, my spear.
As you like manage to worry away attacks with your spear. Oh, sorry, you said and.
Yeah, and I have a machete, but I don't know if I can wield them both at once unless we're just going straight rule of cool.
Well, I guess you can't. Yeah, whatever. However you imagine this going, it's not going to be super critical at this point. So you manage to, like, fend the creature back as you're darting in with your spear and your machete, and you feel occasionally like you're actually landing blows, as every time there is, like, a cut on its hide, you can smell that blood in the air, and you can almost feel the wolf getting more excited, more eager to fight, almost growing larger as you spar with this thing. And as you're doing this and feeling good, there's a moment where its paws come down and hit, like, you're blocking, like, crossed with your machete and spear, and its paw hits it and then just presses down, and you feel your legs buckle and the claws start to sink into you a little bit as you're like, oh, this thing is much bigger than me, actually. And just its weight is quite a lot as it forces you to the ground and you feel yourself like beginning to buckle. Meanwhile, over on, okay, real quick, do you have to mark, I want to make sure I get the rules right on this. For marking strain, you can't check more than one box to deal with strain, right?
No, you can. You can check more than one box. You just have to, you can check more than one box. It just has to be at least the amount of stress.
It has to equal.
Yeah. Or more than.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Right. So it's like.
Gotcha. So that was three.
If all you have left is a four box and you take three strain, then you have to mark the four box.
You have to mark the four and you don't get the one over. Okay. Got it. Got it. Got it.
Yeah. You don't get any change.
Okay. I had that backwards in my head. Anyways, back over to Fred building a ladder. Make me a crafting a ladder roll.
I rolled a five. I rolled plus minus plus minus.
So fortunately, you have a very big, strong guy with you who's able to help you cut down some branches. You lash them together quickly with bark as you tip this massive ladder off a cliff, and it dink hits into a rock as you clamber up and come face to face with Autumn, having just been pushed to the ground, claws sinking into her shoulder. At a massive wolf standing, staring at all of you.
Yeah, I'm going to try to hit this wolf with my axe to get it off Autumn.
All right. And I'm going to make a roll for Hector, who is going to do much the same thing. All right. And roll for the wolf. All right. Make me that roll.
It's a four.
All right. So you rush forward and start hacking at the wolf with this axe. You can feel Hector next to you doing the same, as the blows that you're landing, although they feel like they're connecting, it's almost like you can feel your axe bouncing back as you hit hard muscle, bone, and pelt. But you do manage to distract it enough as it swipes its claws across all two of you. Sorry, I was going to say all three, but anyways, doesn't matter. Hector leaps back out of the way, extremely nimble despite his size, but you just take bear paw full to the chest as you get knocked backwards by this thing. All right, back on all of you. The wolf is now backing away. It's kind of like shoulders raised, snarling, eyes looking at all three of you.
How hurt is it looking?
Not very.
See, the funny thing is, in my head, I was like trying to think of it. I knew you'd already answered this, but I'm trying to think of how big is this thing? And your answer was dangerous. So then my joke was going to be, how dangerous is this thing? About 8 feet tall.
About 8 feet, yeah. About this much dangerous.
Man, I can't take too many more hits.
I think Autumn's just not relenting at all. Or it's like she was freed from pins and she's like already back up running at it.
Cool.
That's not great.
Hey, neither was my roll.
I think I re-roll that. I think I used my last fate point to re-roll that. It can't get much worse.
Fred, are you joining in the attack?
Yep, doing much the same thing. Just trying to keep the pressure on this thing.
That's significantly better. I got a 4.
I got a 3.
Oh, I got a roll for Hector, who did terribly. Oh my gosh. So, the three of you rush in again, and this time you can tell the wolf is like expecting this. Hector is clearly the biggest and most imposing. He gets instantly knocked off his feet. Autumn, you and the wolf start to do this same dance again as you're both jumping around each other and you're trying to like find opportunities to get in attacks, and you manage to feel your spear catch it one time that you feel like was well, like in a leg, wounding it as it sort of drops to one side. And meanwhile, though, you look over and see Fred like trying again to hack at it, and a foot just comes down, catches Fred, and pushes him to the ground. You can see like Fred collapse, trying to like swing at this thing as it puts all of its weight down on Fred's chest. Oh, you also took strain as well. And you kind of realize that it's like, you either stop this from happening or the wolf's just going to put its full weight on Fred's chest, crushing him.
So what I want to do, and I don't know if this will give me any extra bonus when I do it, but what I want to do is I want to do a feint where like I look like I'm going to run and hit it with my weapons again, you know, like the same thing we've done. And right as I get there, I try to grapple it.
Okay.
You know, so it's like bracing for me to slash it, and then all of a sudden like I'm like wrestling it. And then depending on how well I do, I want to roll off the thing with it.
I like that. I like that.
That's a 4.
So you said what you wanted to try to do was wrestle this thing off of this rock, right?
Yeah.
So that works.
Oh, I got a good line for it, though.
Cool.
So she runs up and, like, grabs this wolf, and, like, as she's rolling over the edge, she says, "You should have picked someone who doesn't believe that gods can be killed," as she takes a dive off with this thing.
As you say that, you can feel this odd sense of hatred, but also pride from this massive wolf as it wraps its arms around you. You can feel teeth sinking into your shoulder as you plummet through the sky down towards a canopy of trees, still technically on top of this wolf, and you can feel yourself picking up more speed than you want to be as you hit the ground. And that's where we'll end. Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.